song is composed only to attract non-Christian children. So when you hear the first verse, which in the singer is refraining, is called little children come to me. This evening, I would like to expand some of the ideas which I have mentioned in short on the other day. So, I would like to concentrate on the house Sunday school today, so that you can understand that very clearly, how we are making it. I would like to tell a story first, so that you can also understand that very well. In a big city like Bombay in India, Bombay is the big city in India, it is called the Gateway of India. There on the seashore we have multi-storied buildings. One time three college students, they stayed there, as your students are also staying here in an apartment building. So they stayed in a multi-storied building. And people, they don't like normally to stay on the top floor of the building. So the building owners, they would like to rent that at a cheaper rate. So the college students, they decided to stay there. So three students once they stayed there. And one evening they went for a walking along the seashore. In India, we used to have power cut always. We are not having current always like yours here in the States. You cannot rely on the power supply. Immediately, the electricity would fail. So you have to use kerosene stoves and so on and so forth. So when the students, they went outside and came in, the power was not on supply. So they could not get themselves by using the electrical lift. So they had to wait. While they were waiting for the power supply, the manager there at the floor level, he told them, the current won't be supplied until 9 o'clock this night. That means you have to wait here for 2 to 3 hours. So they decided, instead, why not we climb on the staircase and reach our room there, instead of wasting our time here waiting for the power supply. So they, as students, in a jovial manner, they arranged within themselves, while we were climbing, it will be too tiresome. So why not we make it in a jovial manner? So they decided, one is very expert in singing songs. So they decided one must sing a song. Another one, he is a comedian, so you must tell us a jovial story. The third one, he is always, he likes tragic stories, tragedies. So he consented that I will tell a tragic story. Okay, they decided, then they were climbing the stairways, rounding, 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 they were climbing. The first one started to sing a cinema song, which delighted them. Then they went, they climbed up to 5 stories, then the next one, he started his comedy. So they, while they were enjoying, they were climbing on, climbing on. So 13th story they reached. The next story will be their room. So they requested the third one to tell the tragedy. He was rather reluctant to tell his story. Meanwhile, they got the room entrance. So before entering into the room, you must tell the story twice, because we both accomplished the thinking, accomplished our assignments. Why not you? So while they were debating, the third fellow, he was a rather tragic fellow always, he wanted to reveal his story also. What was his story? Can you imagine that?
No one had time for it.
Didn't have a key.
Yes. I left the key at the bottom floor, at the manager's table. That was the tragic story. Sometimes in our Christian life, that is our tragic story also. We are oftentimes missing the key. Mission is the key. The action is the key. We have to use your faith in action. Then only you can open the room. Oftentimes we are also telling the same story. My key is not here. It is in the church building. We have left that. I am living here, don't ask me anything here. When I go to the church, please inquire all the whatabouts and whereabouts. I am here a layman. You shouldn't ask me, you have to go to the pastor and ask everything. So, in a sense, we are also revealing the same tragic story. We are also leaving the key somewhere else. We are not having the same key which we have to use in our daily life. So now you have to think that story throughout this session, then you can get at the point in which I am focusing my direction. Before getting detailed into the Sunday school program, we should also know what is Sunday school, how it was taught. Then we can also understand some of the factors, and so that we can also eventually venture out our Sunday school program. When it was started in 1876 by Robert Reichs in Manchester, England, he started on seeing the small children roaming on the roads, streets, like vagabonds. He really sympathized for the children. He wanted to gather all the children. Then he taught mathematics, spelling, reading, not religion. Not religion, that is very important. He wanted to teach them all the essentials of their livelihood. By that, he wanted to make them to cope up with the daily living. They should not wander here and there. So he wanted to teach geography, mathematics, spelling, grammar, reading, writing, and so on. If he found time, then he added slowly religion to that. So that was the origin of Sunday school. Then during the next decade, what happened? William Fox and John Wesley, they thought that religion should also be included, and some kind of establishment should also take place. So John Wesley, he made that. During his time, it was so institutionalized. From then onward, slowly it took place. Then Sunday school means teaching of religion. No spelling. If you are teaching spelling, grammar, geography, and so forth, it is day school. It is not Sunday school. So the main objective, the origin of Sunday school, is totally lost in the long run of the church life. And remember, it was so started by a layman, not by a pastor, not by a congregation. The Sunday school movement has begun by a layman. That is very important. So that program was also part and parcel of the church. When it was started by a layman, it was also recognized by the church, and it was so carried on. Now, the reverse picture, what is happening today? When you talk of Sunday school, that means it must be in the church building. Everything is so centralized. We are bringing all the enterprises into the church building. That means we are heaping upon the pastor. The pastor is overloaded with everything, and for everything we are looking at the church building, not at the church, but the church building. The Sunday school must be held in a church building, and also pastor must be in charge. That is the common understanding. So, in our program, what we are doing, decentralize. Don't centralize everything there. Instead, you have to decentralize. Why you are taking the Sunday school program or the Sunday school movement into a building? That means you are anticipating all the children must go to the church building in which you are a member. In an Indian setting, the non-Christian children, they are not the members of that particular church building. They are not the members. But we are rather forcing them to come into our building, whereas when they are requesting our children to go into the temple, we will bluntly refuse and say no. See, there comes the point. And furthermore, we can also say, when we are centralizing, we are bringing everything to a point in which the power structure is being arranged or organized. Then comes all the problems. When you are decentralizing, that means you are taking the Sunday school out of the church building as a people's movement into the local environment. It is no more the building movement, the movement which belongs to the building, but it belongs to the people in which, through whom the movement is going into the grassroots of the neighborhood. So decentralization, by the term decentralization I mean, we are taking the Sunday school movement by extension program. We are taking the movement out. So in that respect, we are anticipating the people of God. I am not separating pastor and lay people. I am using the word the people of God, the totality. All the members of the church, they are becoming part and parcel of this movement. So, Sunday school by extension program involves all the people of God. Here, not the pastor or the lay people, but the total people of God. Then comes the next point, by which the church is involving. When we are soliciting the participation of the children into a church building, we are confining the whole program here in this building. By decentralization, we are taking the movement here in which people are living. Here the people are living. So, we are taking the church to them, or we are taking the Sunday school movement to them. We are not anticipating the child to come here. If it is in a non-Christian setting, it is rather awkward to invite, or it is not decent enough to invite non-Christian children to come over here where the children are living. So by this movement we are going to the people where they are. That is very important. Where the people are living, the church is moving. By that we are involving. Here I am using that word. Not isolation, but involvement. The church building is isolated from the living environment. You can see in America also, your church building is not right in the community. It is somewhere where the parking lot is available. You are getting the church building there and they are providing all the parking lot. The people are not actually living there. But you are asking all the children to come over there. Eventually the children are not coming there. So you are satisfied with what you have. But actually children are not living here. Children are living here. So why not the church make a movement toward the children where they are actually living? That is our prime question. For example, in Indian scene, the church is there. A few Christian homes may be around the church. What about the rest? All non-Christians, Hindus and Muslims. If you are requesting the children to come over the church, immediately the parent will say, no, you shouldn't go to the Christian church there. That is none of your business. But when you are approaching the children where they are, normally you are not getting any objection to that. It is the people's movement, it is not the building. Then both, they are also looking at the persons who are really interested in the welfare of the children. That is also very important. They are also looking so that we have some responsibility toward them also. So involvement means it is very essential. Not isolation in church building, but involvement in society. We are rather trained to be isolated. Wherever you go, you can see that we have our own set of language, songs and liturgy, everything, which is not known to others. I mean in the Indian setting, if we sing a song, then normal Indian, he won't understand that, what he is doing that. He is really following the Western singing practice or something. Once a bishop, he was there, once a bishop, he told a story to a convention, how the non-Christians are evaluating the Christian worship and liturgy. How he narrated the story was like this. See, in India we are using the horse-driven carts, small size. We call it jatka, in which you can accommodate four persons. So that jatka wala, he took a Christian family inside the church and he was waiting at the gate for the return after the service. Then the bishop was illustrating the story, how he evaluating the Christian liturgy. And one fellow, he came and inquired whether you can come to our house so that I can pay the hire for you. Why not you make it? Then this fellow told, see, I have brought a family for the worship service here. I am waiting for that. How long it will take? Here comes the answer. The critical answer comes here. Then he told that they shouted twice. Now they will once again shout. Within 5 minutes they will shout. Then the family will come, I will take. That means two shoutings means two songs are over. The third song will follow after the sermon. So once again they will shout. That means the service is end. Then I will bring the family. That is the common man's understanding. How he is evaluating Christian worship service in the non-Christian setting. He is not considering the translations of the English hymns not as singing, but he is thinking as if it is shouting. That is his way of understanding things. So in the non-Christian settings, we are very careful about that. When we are bringing in the children, they are normally thinking they are going to baptize our children there. So this is the way always Christians are doing. So we should not allow our children to go there. So we are missing the mission of the church very much. So that is why our main concern is to make best use of the lay people or the people of God so that they can live and also they can act. That is very important. And also, when you are involving the people here, they are also very cautious. Yesterday I mentioned it very slightly. You see, when you are privileged to have some connection, some context, then you will also begin to realize what is my position there. See, when you are coming to the church, bringing your children, no problem. When you are involving with the society here, you must be very careful. You have to talk politely, decently, so that you can also gain some experience. So, by this is not only taking the Sunday school out of this church building, it is really helping the people of God to live according to their faith and also what they hear according to the gospel message. See, when you are coming, that is like a court, going to the church and making the court, you are living like a normal person here. But if you are involved here, you must be very careful. Eventually it is coming up, by naturally it is coming up, so that you can also attract other people, so also other children also. Here, you are no more treating them as your objects. That is another point. When you are really living the gospel love, you are not treating your neighbors as your objects. No I-it relationship. You are establishing I-thou relationship. Even though they have some mistakes or shortcomings, you wanted to adjust because you are doing something here. For example, pastor is adjusting to the congregation members. Why? He is paid by the congregation. Okay? Am I correct? Yes. This is a genuine, realistic statement. See, because I am paid by the congregation members, I wanted to adjust to certain things, shortcomings also. So when you are a pastor, when you are a pastor in your neighborhood, then you are also beginning to make a I-thou relationship. Not you are beginning to treat them as a it, as an object, but you are treating them as your subjects.
Is that clear? See, that kind of relationship, you are also having some personal growth in yourself. By going to the church, you are not growing. You are simply listening. If you would like to listen, you are listening, you are paying something, writing some checks and throwing it out. But you are not actually growing. But by this effort, the person here, he is also growing. He is very cautious about himself. What I am talking, how I am contacting, how I am living. Because not only Jesudas, but also that Murugan is also come to my Sunday school. So his point is not about Jesudas, not about Daniel or Solomon. He is also very careful about Murugan, Shanmugam, how he is behaving, how he will be attracted. So his concentration is not toward the church building, but toward the people. So we are changing the objective from a building-oriented nature to the people-oriented nature. That is very important. So we are creating an I-thou relationship, not I-it relationship. And also, when you are a Christian, in the non-Christian setting, it is, we are creating some kind of superiority complex, and he is beginning to think non-Christian is inferior. See, that is also happening. Because we have missionaries, we have connection with foreign countries, and we have boarding homes, we have European doctors and so on and so forth. So this man is becoming too big. He is becoming too big. And he is cultivating some kind of superiority complex in himself. That is why he is treating others as it. When you are giving some opportunity to them to show that, then they will begin, oh, they are also human beings. That's very important. All others, non-Christians, are also created by God. They are also redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that is very important. Only Christians, for Christians alone, Christ never died on the cross. He died for everyone. So he should not think, as a Christian, he should not think likewise. So that is the prime opportunity for us to cultivate that kind of attitude also. In comparison with emotional groups and Pentecostals, I made a study on that. The main problem with the confessional church or established church is our people are not challenged. For everything, our people are not challenged. But when you go to a charismatic group or Pentecostal church or any emotional group, they are immediately challenging you. In the non-Christian setting, you can see that. Are you saved? Yes. Then immediately they will take you and put you on the crossroad so that you can shout and let all the Hindus hear that. But what we are doing, we are keeping him. Come on. We give a nice seat to him and we are comforting him in such a way that he is becoming useless. Some kind of rheumatism we are creating within our members. See, they cannot function because grace is too much for them. So that they are beginning to vomit some grace also. They cannot digest. No food is necessary. But instead, here, the charismatic people or the Pentecostals, what they are doing, immediately they are challenging the people for action. Here also, once again, what is the problem here to challenge the people? Here you are a Christian. God has placed you in that neighborhood. Now what is your role as a Christian there? What is your role? You are always looking at the building and the so-called pastor. Now, come on, what is your role? You are living in that particular environment. God has blessed you in that area. What is your role? Then he will begin to understand what is what. And also by sharing, he is growing. Is there any question on that?
Is there a chance he could set up this little man over here, set up his own little, not society, yeah.
Church.
Yes.
Yeah, could he set up his own little church?
Yes. That.
Is that what it is?
So I am coming at.
Oh, that's where you're headed. Okay.
Begin with children, then you will come there. So immediately it will grow. That's the eventual result. No problem. If you establish a Sunday school, then it will grow into a house church. That's next. If you combine Sunday school and VBS program into one, then immediately there you can see a house church. Immediately it will grow. No problem. The first stage is very important. See, you cannot place him immediately with the adults. It is quite easy to deal with the children first. So you are involving the entire family. Your children also grow simultaneously. So that is the first stage. I will come to that. And also, see,
Dan, you also going to come to how you have any kind of control over what's going on, all these homes, all these teachings going on. I would think you have a real variety of ways people would go at communicating this gospel that's being taught in all the different homes. There would be some who I suppose would have yearned so long for more involvement, more challenge to have something to do in their faith, that it would become a very Pentecostal kind of a church related back to this church. Others would probably take a whole different kind of direction. You played a tape at the beginning. I wasn't exactly sure how that fit into what to hear now, that was used in the house Sunday school or what?
Let me come to that. I will come to that. How this is related to the pastor's role and to the church and everything. This is only the first part. Why I am doing that? So this is the basis for everything. And also, when we are putting all of our church members here to be satisfied with what we are doing in the church building, then what is happening? He is always making a relationship with God. That is fine. He is always making a relationship. He is developing his self-piety and everything. See, he is more satisfied with what he is having. See, for example, I am not critical or judgmental. See, when you are collecting mission offering, you can get billions of dollars. No problem. What about the local church? In Columbus, I went to a church. You can hardly find 50 people in ALC church there. 50 people. But they contributed millions of dollars to the mission fund. It is rather easy for them to write a check. But to be involved with the society, there comes the problem. So they think mission meals, mission field and mission offering. What about their personal mission to the neighbor? That's very important. There I am coming. See, by this, they are thinking we have a nice relationship with God. This is some kind of self-piety. I can call that egocentric. See, this is egocentric. I will establish my relationship to my God. That means very egocentric. He is not giving proper relationship to his neighbor. There comes the cross. When he is thinking only of himself, Hindus are doing that. They are going to Tirupati, they shave off their head and they are having some ponytail, having Krishna consciousness, and they are also doing that. What is the difference between Hindus and Christians? Here comes the point. We are not training the people always to create their self-piety. That is very egocentric. They must also keep the relationship with the fellow human beings. There comes the cross. In sin also there is a problem. See, I is in the center. The main cause for sin is I. Devil, he tempted to raise the man to such a level to God. That is egocentricity. We have to cancel that. We have to make proper relationships. Then only we can find that cross. So here also, when you are providing certain thing, he is not only keeping his relationship with church, but also he is expanding here. There comes the cross. Not one-way traffic, but also he is making crossroads. He is dealing what he is believing. We are providing an opportunity and challenge for him to share that with the fellow human beings. So, this is also one of the important points. So, we are not developing any Hindu ascetic life. Hindus are very pious toward their God. They are making a straight line. Muslims, they are also doing that.
They are very legalistic approach. The legalistic moralism is the basis for Islamic doctrine. But in Christianity, we have cross. We have to have the relationship with the God and also with our fellow human beings. So that is very important. So involvement, relationship is very important. Here, love and truth. Why I am putting that? Love and truth in Christ, that is spontaneity. See, if we have that connection, then our action will come spontaneously. Here, love, see, we can love people, but we have to do something with truth also. Both are essential. The second main point. The teaching responsibility is being taken by the church, the institutional church. But as I mentioned yesterday, it is the primary responsibility of the parents. So, teaching to the children must be taken care of by the parents where they are living. So it was according to the Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5, and also in the synagogue schools, when it was established, when they were in dispersion, they were making that through the synagogue schools. But in the early church, we can see the discipleship means, if you are becoming a member of the Christian church, then you are requested or you are expected to teach to others. So before baptism, you were given 1 to 3 years. That was according to the early history, early church history. See, they are normally not accepting anyone into membership before they are proving themselves that they are teaching their faith to someone. So discipleship means not only listening but also teaching. So sharing. In our context also, nowadays we are doing that. We are not immediately baptizing anyone, those who are really interested to become Christians, because they are always aiming here. It is a safe place. If you are becoming a Christian, then everything stops there. It is a full stop. So what we are doing, he cannot live in the community. So we are allowing the new converts before baptism to live there. Confront the message with your people, share your responsibilities, share your experience, everything, so that they could also, by which discipleship we mean that not only listening to the church, but also you have to teach others. So discipleship means listening and teaching. So that is also very important. So here we are using that. Now third point, the pastor's role.
May I ask you to repeat something? I understood you to say that any new person who wishes to become a convert to Christianity is required to teach before he is permitted to become a Christian and
to be baptized. Before baptism.
Before he's permitted to be baptized. I just want to be sure
that's
I understood
right.
you
correctly. That's right.
And that everyone else did.
See, another problem is we are living in caste and communities. I can pinpoint something to you. See, if one Brahmin, he is interested to become a Christian, for example, take it for granted. And if you baptize him, what is happening? Christian church is a caste in itself. See, others are thinking Christians are belonging to some Western caste. See, that's the common understanding. Brahmin community is a different caste. If one person, individual, is coming and immediately if you are baptizing him, that means you are creating another caste in between the two. His community won't accept him because he has accepted Christianity. That means he is non-vegetarian. By his caste, he is a vegetarian. So he is in between both. He cannot be accepted either by this community nor by his own community. That's the problem there. That's why what we are doing now, we are not rejecting baptism to him, but we are allowing certain time so that
he can confront the message with his own community, and also he has to face all the challenges and problems. He has to go. Samaritan woman, Jesus told, and Samaritan woman went, and she brought many Samaritans. So they believed in Jesus.
That's actually right out of the first century church, because they had a period of up to 3 to 5, wasn't it 3 to 5 years?
1 to 3 years. Yeah, 1 to 3 years. That was the early church practice. But now what we are doing, immediately we are...
Yeah.
See, that is also because foreign missions are paying money, they are also would like to have some account, so they are interested in numerical strength, so immediately they are baptizing and sending reports. So that's the problem. I am not blaming missionaries. That's usually also with me. If you pay me $100, then you will anticipate some photographs from me and also some reports. So I have to satisfy you. So I will do everything accordingly. See, that's the way how it is working. See, that's economy is the basis for everything. By using our money, we are also doing some unwanted things also. See, by which we are making a break in between conversion also. So that is my point. Regarding pastors' role. This is not an anti-clerical movement. So I should make it very clear. Because I was a pastor for 17 years. Many pastors, my classmates also, they told, you are doing a wrong thing. Don't do that. Then your salary will be, you know that. The subsidy office will cut your salary and this and that, you won't get any salary and this and... I never experienced my salary cut or anything.
They send you away?
No problem. See, by this, what you are really doing, you are doing two things. One, you are building so strong your members here, the edification of the church, then the outreach of the church. Both hands are stretched. When you are touching, you know all the congregation members. By this effort, you will also understand and recognize all the neighbors. When you go to one house, then immediately they will talk. Oh, these children are also coming to my Sunday school. Then you will know the family there. Oh, the Ramanujan's family is also coming here. What about that family? Have you ever tried with that community? The pastor can have contact. So, he is not actually doing here with 100 families, but each and every family has its own neighborhood. That means it could be easily multiplied into 10. That means 1,000 families he has. He is not a pastor of 100 families. In a sense, his ministry is so widespread to 1,000 families, which is not easy. And also, he is not conducting one Sunday school, he is conducting many Sunday schools. So, what is his role? My role was inviting all the heads of the family by Saturday evening, and I used to give a lecture. How to teach? For example, prodigal son, which is very easy for you. See, in Indian setting, you must be very careful, prodigal son. You cannot tell any liquors or something. He went to a far country and he had everything, because our state is prohibited. So you should, there is no need for explaining all those things. They know, because our children used to go to great cities, Bombay. So you can tell them, see, one son, he left to Bombay. Then immediately they will understand. Oh, that's the thing. Another thing, when he made a great feast, he killed a calf. Don't tell that. That's the problem there. So, by that, we are, our congregation members, they may not be aware of the fact, what is going on. You have to tell, because you have some Saivate's family by your house, you must be very careful, don't use that words. So, you must be very careful. And also, he will understand, because I am going to that Brahmin's family, always their children are coming in, I must also be a strict vegetarian, just to attract them. There comes the life. See, before that, he could not have mind that. Why should I be? I am a non-vegetarian, why should I care for that? Because of this movement, the whole atmosphere is changed. Why you are not taking anything now? Then you may see, that boys are coming to my house, so I must be very careful. I should not use any fish or mutton, so that the smell will go there. So they will think otherwise, how could I attract? So everything. So in each and every story you must be very careful. So also Good Samaritan. When you were saying the Good Samaritan, the thieves came. See? In India when you say thief, thief is a caste. You must be very careful. When you in a certain surrounding, you should not tell them. See, in my language, moondru thirudargal vandargal. Thirudargal means robbers. Thirudar means a caste. So immediately they will stone you if you tell such a story to them. So you must be very careful. So we have to, as pastors, our role is very important. How to use the language by which we can communicate the gospel message. The love of Christ is very important. That isn't the robber or the thief, that is not so important. But the point, we have to make it clear, which is very important. So we can also tell them, inform them, prepare them how to use flannel graph material, how to use the simple medias of communication. We can explain them so that they could understand. And also they will ask, yeah, last time I was telling a story, then that old lady from that house, she asked a question, but I could not in a position. I was not in a position to answer that. What would be my answer? So that everyone can discuss. It will be a great Bible study group. Please.
Okay, I was just going to check my understanding. So when you teach the story of the prodigal son to the heads of the families, to the heads of the 100 families, and then they go out and teach it to the children. Is that right?
That's it. Okay. I am helping the people to help themselves.
Okay, right.
That's my point. Instead of I am concentrating my full time to teach one Sunday school, I am teaching 100 teachers.
Yeah.
In turn, they are teaching.
Right. But when you teach the story of the prodigal son...
So this was not my specific point. Right. Yeah. Well, I mentioned some points.
Using that's the example you used. When you teach the story of the prodigal son, you teach it to the heads of the families in what way? Do you teach it the way it's written in the Bible? Do you teach it to them with the cows and the killings of the calf? Or do you change that portion too?
You see, how I am teaching. See, I am requesting all the members to bring their own Bible. See, that's very important. In India, we are not providing any Bibles in the church. We are not providing hymnals in the church. It is the private property. They must bring that. They must take it back. So that is the personal Bible. So they will bring that. It's normal. I am not conducting a moral lesson there. But I will read the possible translations and what is the implication, what is the central theme of the story, then what are the complications. You should also understand. For example, the Solomon, you must be very careful. You are living in a Brahmin community. Don't use that word. I may be specific to him so that others will also understand. And I can pinpoint, Devadas, you are living in the Marava community. Don't tell robbers or thieves when you are mentioning that story so that everyone can understand.
Uh-huh.
See, okay. It is a group Bible study like. So you are not only creating a house Sunday school, it is coming to a Bible study group, then it will become a house church. So that's my point. You are not creating Sunday school only, you are creating Bible study, it will be ongoing program. You can create 100 house churches immediately. If you have 100 families, that means you have to create 100 mission churches.
Pastor Daniel, one problem that has come up in our congregation when we talked about alternatives to traditional Sunday school was people's fear of dealing with a variety of ages in the children. So that if you would challenge a family to, say, start a house Sunday school, the mother or father or both together might say, we like the idea, but what are we going to do if we get children from 3 years old up to junior high? How do we relate to that wide span of ages? Because our simple answer, of course, in the institutional church has been to separate them into grades and then get a different teacher for each grade group, and then you're back to your original problem.
That's right. I can understand. Nothing is more over problem, you see. See, nothing is beyond problem. We have a lot of problems also. That according to the situations, you cannot make a clear cut
that you must have this and that. I think they have to decide. Pastor should not take the role. How do you feel? How you will fit into that situation? That was my approach. I never gave any answer to them. Come on, take the leadership, you answer. You have 10 children, why not you divide? Your daughter is also a teacher, why not you share? Make 3 groups. Father, mother, daughter. See, we know the point, but they have to solve the problem. We should not be the problem solver. Let them take the initiative. That was my approach. One time, one person, he told me that I didn't find time because I had to work in the office on Sundays also. Then how could I make it? Then immediately I told, why you were worried too much? Your wife is a teacher, your son is a teacher, your daughter is a teacher. You have 5 teachers in your family. If you are not able, you have 4 classes. It is not a big problem when you say to me, I know that you have 4 teachers. What about them? Then they had 130 children, Muslim children in their house. No problem. But they never participated in a Sunday school program for their life. That means 25 years they were idle. They were not challenged. Here comes the point. Now it is going on without a pastor. No pastor is there, but the Sunday school is going on. They won't murmur about anything. They will use their own Bible. They will do that. Formerly, what in the missionaries, they used to give all kinds of Sunday school leaflets, left of materials and this and that. Then immediately they began, oh, no tracts, no leaflets. Then missionaries, they used to tell, the Indian customs, they are blocking that. So what could we do? Now we are basing only on the Bible. Let them read the Bible, tell the story. Make it simple.
Two questions, Dan. You don't use current material as much. You kind of set that up as a pastor. The stories that you would tell, they're kind of all relating to the same story, the same specific important point to get across. Then also you mentioned that you have it together on Saturday evening, but so it doesn't have to happen on Sunday. It doesn't have to be any time during the week that family would have.
Now I am coming. See, this also gives the time factor. They have to find their own. I am not calling that Sunday school, because in India that is also another problem. See, some schools they have Friday vacation. Not Hindus they are giving vacation on Friday. Muslims they are also interested to give holidays on Friday. So instead of Sunday school, in some cases we are running Friday schools. So no problem there. So it is not day oriented. Once again, we think Sunday school must be accomplished on Sundays only. So there is also, in Ceylon, Sri Lanka, they have boya dates. The day is not definite. According to lunar system, government will fix and inform. So that is the day. So you have to find that day and you have to conduct your own school. So if we are not confined to any date, to any particular pattern. What are available, the head of the house, the family, he has to decide. With the consultation of his own family, they can tell that. So the pastor's role is to simply to equip the lay people, to help themselves so that in turn they can help the people in which they are living. So that is the prime concern for the program. Any questions?
How large do you think this, I suppose you might call it the home church or the central church, the place where the pastor is. How large do you think that should become before
here?
Another church unit is established with its 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 families to grow from there?
See,
when does the home church become unwieldy?
See, in India, normally one pastor is in charge of 3 to 8 congregations, not like America. Here, one pastor is in charge, then assistant pastor, then associate pastor, and so on, vicar, and so on, so forth. So many people are here. But in India, I was in charge of 3 congregations. I was in charge of 3 congregations, 3 city congregations. So, morning, 7 o'clock, I have to preach. I have to conduct. No assistance, no nothing. So, I was made to equip the lay people for that. See, that was my place, my role. I was put up in that fashion. So 10:30, then evening. So Sunday is full to me. So
the area which pastors are normally covering is not so close. It's not so close in India. And if a pastor is dealing with his diaspora ministry, the Christians, they are very widespread. Then we are making that. See, for example, I had a village, about 120 families. See, in India, we are living in families and caste. So, in one family, there, by transfer, I got only one Christian. His wife is also a Hindu. So, that was the prime opportunity for me. So, I went every week to his house one day, so that I equipped him. So that in turn, he and his wife is also a teacher. So I conducted classes for her. Also, she, before baptism, I asked her to teach in the Sunday school. How she is reacting, the discipleship pattern. So he had instruction from me. In turn, she has to experiment that. So it was going on. And after that, we had baptisms for 10 people there, inclusive of that lady of the house. So it could happen.
Another question occurs to me. When you told your congregation to go to their homes and teach their own children and also invite the neighbors in to be taught, did you find that their first teaching consisted of teaching their own children and then their neighbors' children? Or did you find their teaching outside of their own home first consisted of the neighboring adults? Or did it
No. Begin with children. Begin with children. See?
And then the adults.
Yes. See, what is happening when you are teaching, for example, in Sunday, Sunday afternoon, for example, then the elderly persons, they will also watch what she is doing. I told them not only teach Bible story, if the boys and girls are really weak in English, teach them some English, teach them some spelling, some grammar, some geography, what is necessary for him. Once I had 23 children, nursery school children, all educated lawyers in the Brahmin society, so I wanted to have contact with them. So I had all 23 children from that houses. I made the time which was rather convenient for them, not for me. See, the time was, you may be surprising, I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, then I have to cycle 5 miles, then I will reach the place at 6. 7 o'clock early morning service in one congregation, then I have to finish, then I have to cycle back, another congregation 9:30, then I had a congregation meeting and everything, it will go up to 12 o'clock, then I will have my breakfast at 12 o'clock. So that's the only way. Then I thought the children are making some disturbance in the house, so the parents, they are sending the children out to play. So that was the most fitting time. I was living in the riverside. So I saw all the children playing on the riverbed, see, on the sand. So I thought it would be the most fitting time. So I fixed the time between 12:30 and 1:30. No parent will be bothered about that time. So I got all 23 children there. I wanted to teach them English first, because all were studying in English medium school. So I educated them spelling, grammar, simple stories. Jesus loved everyone. See, I started that. But Jesus, spelling, everyone. See, that's the way I taught. I had all the typed sheets for them. And after that, 1 year, I had the class for 1 year. After that, I was never appreciated by anyone. But I got the message. All those 23 children were the first ranking children in the school. Mm-hmm. Then came the parents. What happened to this Sunday school here? There was one pastor who was having some kind of school at 12:30 to 1:30. Then I was transferred. That was the point. Then they were searching for that. What happened to that Sunday school? See? You have to follow it up. Some methods we can adopt. And there are people. Children are always with us. No problem. When you start, the parents, they are also observing. Some contact we can make so that we can have our personal growth, meanwhile the church will also grow.